there's a lot of research that talks about like attendance gimmicks and prizes and how they don't really affect attendance. But what they do achieve is getting your school talking about attendance. Even if it's about prizes, it's really not about the incentives. It's about us sending this message to parents. Like, we need your kids to be here. It's really important. And it's so important that we're putting our money into it.
Welcome to season 2 of Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branchy Minds, featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branchy Minds team, here to lead conversations with educational leaders and experts, and to shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. Maybe you've been listening for a while, or this is your first episode. If you like what you hear, would you do us a favor by rating and reviewing us on iTunes? This is a fantastic way to tell us you enjoy what we are creating. Also, if you want more MTSS resources, sign up for our weekly newsletter using the link in the show notes. According to attendanceworks.org, an organization dedicated to solving school attendance issues, a student is chronically absent when they miss 10% or more of school days due to any reason. In the 2021-22 school year, 29.7% of the nation's 14.7 million students were chronically absent, which is about 8 million students. But there are schools that are working hard to make intentional interventions for attendance, and today I am sharing a conversation that I had with an elementary principal who's making a big impact. She has led her school to a 50% reduction in chronic absenteeism in the last school year. I am pleased to welcome today Lindsay Helton, who is an elementary school principal in Waco, Texas, and she is here to chat about attendance. Lindsay has served as an educator for about 15 years. You've taught fifth grade science and other things, and then you moved into administration and you work at Alta Vista Elementary School. So I'll let you kind of introduce yourself a little bit more. And then you can also share the kind of question I want to ask today is, what's your favorite movie as a kid?
Right. Well, thank you for having me. This is my first podcast, so I'm excited to be here. Like you said, I have been in education for about 15 years now. I was not a traditional education major in college. I thought I was going to major in business and travel the world, and then got into the business world and very quickly realized that that is not my cup of tea. And so I switched over, got my alternative certification in education and started teaching 15 years ago, right after I got married. And so I've been doing it ever since. The fun part is I get to use a lot of my business background in the work that I do these days in education leadership. And so that's been like a fun crossover for me. My favorite movie growing up was Top Gun. I love the music in Top Gun. It's so much fun. And I really just love an underdog story. So you can imagine like how excited I was a couple years ago when the new Top Gun movie came out, because I felt like I'd been waiting my whole life for this movie to come back out.
That's amazing. I love that you love an underdog story. That's usually Absolutely. Why I love like the stories at the Olympics when they they share about like different people competing there. You know, like I love a good underdog story. So that's good. I love that you love Top Gun as a kid. That's amazing. So, okay, we're here to talk about attendance, but first I want to hear a little bit about your school.
Yeah, so Alta Vista Elementary is located in Waco, Texas. We have the oldest campus in our district. We're 114 years old, and so that's quite a legacy. We serve about 550 students. 90% of those are economically disadvantaged, so we're a Title I campus, very diverse, diverse students and staff. We used to be a magnet school back in 2001 or 2012, excuse me. And then our district rezoned our schools. And so we transitioned to a neighborhood school. And so what that means is that the students that come to Alta Vista are students that live close by in proximity. And then students are able to transfer into our campus if we have the space and they want to be here. So we like to try to attract as many people as we can. And so that's a little bit about us. We have just a long legacy in our neighborhood. And it's just been a great, it's fun being part of this community.
That's amazing. I love that a community school kind of underestimates how like amazing community schools are. So I know that one of the reasons I really want to talk to you is because one of your former colleagues, Trudy Bender, said that you have been doing amazing work about attendance. And I know that that is such a pressing issue in so many schools. I mean, I see headline after headline about different school attendance issues. I think one said like only 90% of students are actually attending school right now. And which is sounds like 90% sounds great, but actually it's not. We should have students should have 100% of students attending school. So, you know, because it's such a challenge for many, how would you describe maybe some of the root of the attendance issue?
You know, I think it depends on the school and the area that you're at, but I think if you really want to drill down to it, it's about a disconnect between home and school. And I used to not really understand that or really even see it until we went through COVID. And what we noticed, and not just in schools, but like in organizations and businesses, just all over the country, you know, we all started having this issue with engagement and attendance altogether. It's not just schools that are having this issue, it's everybody. And I think the root cause for everybody is really that disconnect. That I think stems from a lack of connection. What happened with COVID is that a lot of you know, when COVID started, if you think about like the pre-K and kindergarten students that you had at that time, they didn't get a full year of school. So they didn't get a full year of building a relationship with the school. And then as the school year progresses, you have new students moving in and out of your area. And then COVID just kind of like put us all in our little bubble. And I don't know that we've all gotten out of our bubbles since then. We're trying to get out of our bubbles, but we're still not quite there. And so at the end of the day, you have this disconnect because parents and families don't feel connected to their schools anymore. And when you have that, you like that buy-in or that motivation to like stick with it when things are tough. So like, let's take, for example, you've got a student that maybe they wake up in the morning, their stomach's not feeling great, but they're not running a fever. You know, generally we want parents to send those kids to school because if they're not in the seats, they're not learning. If you've got a parent that's connected to your school, they're going to trust your organization. It's going to watch out for their baby. They're going to take care of them. They're going to give you a call when they're not feeling well or if things get worse. And when you have a parent that either doesn't trust the organization or just doesn't have that connection to the school, then they're going to think, my kid's not feeling well. I don't think they can take care of them. I'm going to keep them at home, even if maybe they're not running a fever or anything. And so I think that's just like one like really small example of how that disconnect really snowballs into a lot of attendance issues that can happen on a campus or in a business organization or a volunteer organization.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think the idea that, you know, some students, if they don't feel like there's anyone there that will care about them or that they don't, that doesn't personally like know them well enough, then they're like, well, why would I keep going if I don't feel well? Or like, it's just an easier out if you're not connected. So yeah. that makes a lot of sense. How would you go about maybe addressing some of those issues? So like, for example, that student that doesn't maybe, or the parent that doesn't feel as connected to the school community, how would you go about maybe addressing that issue?
Yeah. There's a lot of different things that we've done to tackle this disconnect. The two really big strategies that we've done are student-led conferences and utilizing technology for consistent communication. When I talk about student-led conferences, you know, we're all used to the traditional format of like a teacher-parent conference, where once a year the parents go in, they sit down with the teacher, they talk about how their student's doing. Right around the time of COVID, we decided we wanted to do things a little differently. And so we flipped the format a little bit. We decided that instead of the teacher leading the conference, we're going to have students lead the conference. And instead of doing it just once a year, we're going to do it 3 times a year. And so what we do is at the beginning, middle, and end of year, all of our students sit down with their parents, with the teacher, and they talk about, these are my goals, this is how I'm making progress towards these goals, and this is where I need to be at the end of the year to show a year's worth of progress, and this is where I need to be to show grade level mastery. And then part of that conversation is, how is the teacher helping the student meet their goals, and how are the parents going to help students meet their goals? And so part of their script that we have for our students is students asking parents, how are you going to help me at home to meet these goals? And so when parents see their students taking that ownership in their own learning, that's really motivating and encouraging for parents. It also helps to break down those barriers so that parents understand the education process. Teachers, we have a really bad habit of throwing a lot of like teacher jargon at parents. And when students can sit down and explain it to their parents, it makes a lot more sense. And so parents are like, oh, okay, I understand what's going on now. I understand where you need to be. And now I understand how I can help you. And so this has absolutely nothing to really do with attendance, but it's really about building that homeschool connection so that parents feel like they are a part of the process, that they are welcomed in the school, and that they, like they're an equal partner in this, because we can't do this work alone. So that's been really important to our school. We never had the intention of this to improve attendance, but we think that this is a really big factor in attendance.
I think you're right, though, in that idea that building that connection between, you know, like the student is the bridge between mm-hmm. the parent and the teacher. And so utilizing that relationship that this parent has with the student and then the student has with the teacher, and kind of building that bridge, is really important. I also think something you said, or just that whole idea of like the teacher jargon and using the student kind of like as a translator, but also like being really aware of like how we're speaking to the parents, because not all the parents yes. have a great understanding of what all these terms mean. And so really making sure that we're making that information accessible to them, I think, is really important. I know as a young teacher, I was like so determined to like present myself as an expert so that they wouldn't like question whether I knew what I was doing or not. And so like, I probably inserted more words in that than I probably I needed to. But really, I think that teacher or parents really value that when the teacher is really real with them and really tells them what they need to know. And the student, I mean, having the student communicate what we're doing in class, because that also carries over, I think, the home life, right? If the student yeah. already is sharing those things. So I appreciate that. That sounds really amazing to implement. And I do think you're right. It does impact attendance. You know, it doesn't, you know, like maybe you think that isn't a direct strategy, but it does impact that attendance.
Yeah. And we, so our campus, we have pre-K 3 all the way to 5th grade. And so even our pre-K 3 students, they're tracking their learning during the year. Like, so for those little guys, they're coloring the letters that they know. And so when they sit down with their parents, they show them this little chart and like, here on day one, this is how many letters I knew. And then, you know, day 30, this is how many letters I know. And so while the pre-K 3 students may not be able to quite verbalize it, they still know what their learning goal is, and they can share that with their parents. And there's a lot of power in that.
Well, and I think that I was a middle school teacher, and I think that parents sometimes they're like, well, my kid just needs to know how to read and write. And so like, mm-hmm. if we make it too convoluted, we really like miss the part where like they understand, or, you know, what they're actually really looking for. What's the end goal? Is yeah. my kid on track? Are they, you know, like, what is it particularly yes. they need to work on? And breaking it down into really tangible and like real things for them to grasp on is important.
Absolutely.
So for your school and your context, what were some of the unique challenges that you faced in addressing attendance? You kind of mentioned the community aspect, but is there anything else that you found in your work?
Yeah. So one challenge that we have at our particular campus is a really high mobility rate. So I said that we were a community or a neighborhood school. That means we draw on anybody that lives in our neighborhood. And our neighborhood tends to have a lot of short-term housing and apartments. And so we're frequently getting families that are passing through. They might be experiencing like some hard times. They're waiting to find permanent housing. They're waiting to decide like, is this city the right city for them? And so that means that because of that high mobility rate, we're constantly having to do that work of building relationships with parents and forming those connections. Because if they don't feel that connection, they're not going to trust the school. They're more inclined to leave their keep their students at home when they're facing illness or whenever they're just going through a hard time. And so that's why those student-led conferences are really important, as well as that consistent communication. So we use a couple of different technology tools to make sure that we are consistently communicating with parents. We do it in a way that's really handy to parents. So we have an app that sends emails or direct messages parents, and they can direct message with the teachers back in turn without having to share their personal contact information. And that helps to build that homeschool connection too, because parents feel like if they need to get a hold of a teacher, it's very easy and very simple. And that technology allows us to communicate with parents really seamlessly. So it's not just like, oh, we put it on a flyer, your kid didn't give you your flyer. No, like we send home flyers, but we're also going to send it home through this app. And then parents have it right there on their phone. And so that's really convenient and handy. And that allows parents to also feel connected. Like maybe they can't participate in everything that's going on in school, but they can definitely ask their kids about it when they get home.
I think it's something I learned in my transition from, you know, being a new teacher, I think in the 2010 and on, was like the fact that teachers, we were doing a lot of stuff by email, right? Like we communicate, we'd send emails home, but realizing that more and more people were using their phones, right? A text message to their phone was so much more powerful than like a flyer sent home or an email, because they're going to lose the email. They're not checking their email every day. And a lot of people, if they're not in a job where they sit at a desk, I've learned this from other people in my life, if they're not at their desk all day, they may not see their email. They may not check it until later, or they may only check it one time a week, depending on the parent. And so that text message is actually really convenient for them. Mm-hmm. And so it's like making it accessible. I think that sort of accessibility in communication is really an important factor to consider.
Yeah. We have parents that, you know, they may not have a job or be in a situation where they can't talk on the phone, but they can still text and communicate that way. And so, when we've got kids that are sick or kids that are having behavior issues or we're missing a kid, you know, like, hey, where's your kid today? We're missing them. It's really easy just to pick up the phone and send that text message. And parents get that, you know, that right time, that communication to them.
Well, and another thing that I was thinking about with attendance is that transportation tends to be an issue, especially with younger kids, even I think older kids too. Is there a way that did you encounter issues with transportation? I kind of figured with maybe a high mobility that was an issue.
Yeah, that's a struggle for us too. We have a large amount of students that do ride the bus because the way our area is, we have a lot of very busy streets that intersect our neighborhoods. And so because there's not an easy way to cross those streets, they do receive bus transportation. That's especially challenging because if you miss the bus, you can't get to school. And so I'm going to be honest, like we haven't figured that one out. You know, buses is a challenge because there's so many things out of our control when it comes to buses. They've got to run their elementary school routes. They've got to run their secondary routes. Staffing is always a challenge. So we really haven't quite figured out that problem yet, but we do have our communication set up so that parents can let us know that, hey, my child's not here today. We're having car issues or they missed the bus. Unfortunately, we're not in a position where we can go pick them up. I would love to be able to explore that option more in the future. But at least we know that the kids are safe and we know why they're not there.
Well, and it's good data to track of like how many times that's an issue, because then if it's a kind of larger issue, it could be something that the district looks at of finding other solutions to as well. So
I just want to interrupt our conversation with Lindsay for a quick sec to recognize an MTSS hero, because recently Branching Minds provided our community of educators an opportunity to nominate their MTSS hero. And so I want to recognize one person today that was nominated by their peer. And an MTSS hero is someone who's dedicated to the work of supporting students. So I want to recognize Kristen from Medina City Schools in Ohio, who she was recognized by her colleague Rhonda. And Rhonda said that Kristen came into MTSS coaching role this year, and her initiative and support in the building is unmatched. Her primary job function is to coach teachers, but she has jumped in and tackled modeling. You can find her daily in the classrooms modeling direct student support for teachers who may just have a little difficulty in addressing high need students. So keep listening for more shout outs. Now back to our interview.
Okay, so in your attendance work, what is something surprising that as far as like attendance interventions goes, something that you've encountered that was surprising to you?
So much is like surprising, but it's just a good reminder that, you know, like we forget that parents, they really do want their kids to be successful. Sometimes they're just really not sure like how to help them at school. And how to help navigate the system like we were talking about. Sometimes they don't know, you know, they don't know the legal jargon or the school jargon that we throw out. Maybe they've had a past poor experience with school. They're reluctant to engage, or maybe there's just something else is going on. But I've never met a parent that's just like, I don't care if they come to school. No, the parents, they want their kids to be at school. There's just a lot of things that are getting in the way. And so it's really important to meet parents where they're at, and to dig down deep to find out like what's really going on. Why aren't they getting here to school, or why aren't they getting here on time? How can we support them in that? But it's hard work. It does not happen overnight. You've got to invest a lot of time into building those relationships with families, so that they have that trust in you.
I think that you're right that it's easy to forget that like parents really do want their kid to be successful. Like they want good things. And that was always something I had a principal remind us of that, like before parent teacher conferences. And just was like, just remember, you guys are on the same team. Like you want the kid to be successful. And so like starting from there is a great place of like, hey, I know that you want your kid to be successful. I want that too. Let's talk about how we can get there. And like sort of having that team mentality instead of it's like us against them, you know? And so like the more comfortable I got in my teaching career, it was easier to have that. But you know, when you're a young teacher, it feels like, they're going to catch me and like not knowing what to do, you know?
Yes.
But that's something to note to prepare teachers for of like, yes. You remember you're on the same team.
And also I try to remind parents and teachers, you know, it's about progress. We've got some families that while they have more absences than we would like, they have huge improvement over last year. And so I think that it's important to recognize the improvements that families are making, the efforts that they're going through to try to get their kids here. Because like life is hard and we need to celebrate those opportunities.
Yeah. And you're right. It is about growth. It's not about, because I think that sometimes maybe parents have that in their mind of their experiences of like the perfect attendance awards and the different things of like the really high standard, and just realizing that like, yeah, there's things that families encounter on a daily basis that we may not even understand or know the full story. And so just celebrating where they are making that progress and helping them and being there to support them in that too is really important. Okay. Yeah. So here's, I just want to kind of talk a little bit about, as someone who's done a lot of work with the attendance factors in your school, what would you say to someone who is doing that work, like starting that work now, that recognizes that they have an attendance issue and wants to start to make changes? What would you say as maybe someone who's a little further ahead in that?
You know, I've talked about this a lot, but really just work on how you can build up that homeschool connection, because whatever's going on, there's a disconnect somewhere. And you want your parents to really see themselves as a partner in this process. So for our campus, that meant implementing the student-led conferences and really building a system of consistent communication. That might not look the same for all campuses, but I promise if you really build work on that homeschool connection, you're going to see improvement there. Also, it's really important that you make sure that parents understand how important attendance is. And like that can't go understated. You know, parents, some parents, they feel or they may think that, you know, school is a babysitter, that they're learning, they learn just as much as home, which kids learn a lot at home these days. But you can't underscore how important it is to be at school, to be getting those foundational skills in reading and math. And so you've got to make sure that your parents understand like what's happening in the school and why it's important to be here at the school rather than at home doing something else. There's a lot of research that talks about like attendance gimmicks and prizes and how they don't really affect attendance. But what they do achieve is getting your school talking about attendance. So what we've noticed, you know, is like you get what you focus on. So if you're constantly talking about attendance, like even if it's about prizes, you're sending that message to parents that attendance is important. And so we put in our newsletter like, hey, this is our monthly incentive, you know, this and that. It's really not about the incentives. It's about us sending this message to parents like, we need your kids to be here. It's really important. And it's so important that we're putting our money into it. Classroom culture is also really important. If you've got students that love coming to school, they're going to push through to come, even when they're not feeling their best. Our classrooms, we have a couple different traditions for our classrooms. One's called a wish well tradition, and that's just when students and the teacher recognize who's not at school and we wish them well, and then we welcome them back when they return. And we do the same thing with our staff every morning. Our admin team meets to talk about who is not there. We wish them well. And then when they come back, we check up on them. And so when you have traditions like that, then kids know that they're missed and they don't like being missed. Like they want to be there part of it. We also really focus on attendance goals at our campus. And so it's important that schools understand what the goal is, that your students understand what the goal is. We've got our calendar that's like front and center in our lobby. And every day we update it with the daily attendance. And our students and our parents know that if it's green, we met our attendance goal, which is 97%. If it's red, we did not meet our attendance goal. And so you can just see like in a one quick view, like how we're doing for the month. Sometimes we take a picture and put it on Facebook, like, hey, parents, we're really blowing it away this week. Or, hey, parents, we are really struggling. We really need your kids here because we've gotten all red. And then we do the same thing with every classroom. So every classroom has a calendar outside their door, and they also track their daily attendance for the classroom. And so it's a green dot if you meet your goal. It's a red dot if you don't meet your goal. And so it's really easy for the students and teachers and our administration team to see like how each class is doing. And we can pop into a class and be like, hey guys, y'all are doing amazing. Y'all got a week straight of greens. Or it might be like, ooh, hey guys, like what's going on? Where's your friends? Like call them, find out what's going on. Or reminding that teacher like, hey, you've got a week's worth of reds. Like, you know, who has been out all week? Like let's follow up and check on them. And so again, those are all just tools to help keep that attendance like forefront on your mind. So like the tools in themselves are not going to fix attendance, but it's what you're focusing on.
I wanted to sort of highlight something you said about when, like the power of knowing that you're missed. Like, mm-hmm. I think that I just like, that is really powerful. Like to tell a kid of like, hey, you were gone yesterday. I missed you. Like that, Knowing that someone noticed them, like in feeling seen and that they belong, like that, that's part of that connection. I think that goes for teachers. It goes for students. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a human thing. Like if someone misses me, I feel like, oh, okay. I feel cared about.
Yeah. We all want to be seen. And That's like an easy way to do it, right? It's just to recognize you're gone and recognize when you come back and say, hey, we're glad to see you back.
Yeah. Or if a kid is like out sick for a while and the, you know, and with parents' permission, like sending a video of the class going, we missed you, like that, you know, that just says a lot to kids feeling, especially I just know now that like there's just this epidemic of kids feeling lonely and isolated. And that's a great way to build that bridge of connection.
Yeah. And that's why like the technology tools are so important too, because when you've got a technology tool that allows you to easily communicate with parents, it's really easy for a teacher to take 30 seconds and type out a message to parents like, hey, we noticed your student's out today. We wish them well. Can't wait to see them back, you know? And then parents also realize my student was missed and that teacher is texting to check up on them. And so that helps build that homeschool connection and it helps build that trust between your parents and your teachers.
Yeah. And it kind of builds that part of like, if something really is wrong, they know how to reach out and know how to, you know, how to ask for help. Okay. Something I did want to ask you about, you talked a lot about the student conferences here, and I'm curious about how you've seen, like what results of that you've seen beyond maybe attendance, but like more of the student empowerment piece. Like I'm curious about the results of that.
Yeah. I think, when it comes to students, they know what they need to focus on. I like to use the analogy with our staff about like losing weight. Like if my doctor said I need to go lose weight, that's great. But if my doctor says I need to lose 15 pounds by the end of December, or I might need to go on some medicine, then that is much more motivation because I know how much time I have, what my goal needs to be, and also what are the consequences going to be if I don't meet that goal. And so the same goes with our students too. You know, they want to know like, where do I need to be? How much time do I have to get there? What do I need to get there? And so it empowers them to really feel engaged in the learning and understand like why it's important and where we're going to go.
The last thing I wanted to ask you about, because the fact that your former colleague mentioned you specifically knowing the work that you were doing, and really she was like, you needed to ask her about this. And you know, many of our listeners are school leaders. And so I love asking about just some of your own like leadership values, or even just kind of philosophies that you kind of take into your work and leading your school well. And so what's really foundational to your leadership style?
I think the underlying value that I try to use whenever I'm making a decision or dealing with anything is like, treat people the way you want to be treated. You know, like when I'm sick or when my kids are sick, I want the school to have grace with me. If I'm running late once in a while, like I need the school to understand that it's been a rough morning in my house. But we are here and we're good to go. And I think that parents, staff and students, they really all just want that same level of respect and treatment. So it ties back to the golden rule, which sounds cheesy, but, I was telling my son this just the other day because he was dealing with a student that wasn't being kind to him. I said, Josh, I've never looked back at a situation and said, man, I wish I'd been meaner to that person. You know, like if I just be mean that they would stop or whatever. Now I have gone back and said, you know, I didn't handle that well. I wish I would have had more grace, or I wish I would have had more empathy in that situation, because 99% of the time there is something else happening that we don't know about. And so I think that's why it's so important to treat people the way you want to be treated, because you don't know what's going on in people's lives. You've got to assume positive intent, which means assume that people are doing the very best that they can at that moment. And if they're not meeting your goals, then when it's the right time, have a conversation, but start it with like, are you okay? Like what's going on? Because more than likely they know they're not meeting expectations. They're not happy that they're not meeting expectations, but there's something going on in their lives that's keeping them from doing that or being successful. So I think that's really important. And then the final like guiding philosophy, and this is maybe like more of an elementary thing, but that's where my heart is elementary education, is I really focus our staff on understanding the importance of making sure that our students are graduating elementary school on grade level. Like, we lay the foundation for middle school and high school. And when we graduate students out of fifth grade that aren't on grade level, then that means they're going to have to take remedial classes later on. That restricts the electives that they get to take, the CAET opportunities that they might have in a career in technology. And so what that means is we could be limiting their future career choices. And that's not okay with me. Like, elementary education is the foundation on which everything else is built. And so it's so important that it doesn't matter where you start, like, we all need to be ending elementary school on grade level. That way we've got our kids where they need to be. The next step is up to them and their next teachers, but we've given them everything that we can to for them to try to be successful. And I think that's so important for elementary staff to remember, is that we are the foundation and we've got to get them where they need to be.
I really appreciate that. I think, well, first, your first sort of philosophy about treating people the way they want to be treated, in assuming positive intent. I think that one, you know, we have a lot of negative things coming at us on a daily basis, and it's really hard for our brains. Like, I talk about this a lot, about like training our brains to see positive first. It's really hard. It's really hard because we have a negativity bias. I've learned a lot from Trudy. She and I talk about this all the time.
Yes, but I have too.
But we train, you know, it's really training our brains to see the positive first, and not in a like naive way of, you know, only wanting to see rainbows and flowers, right? But like really assuming that assuming people are doing the best that they can and they're showing up with whatever that they have. And I think that when people are, you know, meet that, they're more likely to be less defensive. Then your interaction with them is a lot more positive and constructive in the end than it is if you both come at it with a negative. And it gives a soft place. I mean, there's a lot of hard things in life, especially with kids.
Yes, there is.
You're working with kids. Adults need a soft place to land. Working in schools is really extremely rewarding and a powerful place to be, but it is also a lot of hard work. And so I do think that that is really powerful. So I appreciate that value. Well, yeah. Lindsay, thank you so much for chatting about attendance and about your work. And it sounds like Alta Vista Elementary is a great place to be and work. And so I'm just excited to see the years to come, the foundation that you lay for these students.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation. It's been really fun. And I just, I appreciate the opportunity to share some of the things that we're doing, and hopefully they will inspire some other campuses to pick up some of that work and carry on with attendance.
Yeah. Do you have any references for attendance? I forgot to ask this. Do you have any like kind of references that people could go to learn more about some attendance?
Yeah, attendanceworks.org is a great website. It has tons of material, the latest research on attendance. It has like social media artwork that you can put out. They've got flyers you can send home, statistics, just a ton of information that you can share with parents and teachers about why attendance is important. If you're interested in student-led conferences, then I highly recommend going to edutopia.org, and you can search student-led conferences. They've got like a really great collection of different resources. I just encourage schools to like adapt it to fit their needs, because there's definitely not like a one size fits all. There's not like a perfect way to do student-led conferences. Like, make it fit you. And then if you're looking for a really great tool for improving communication between your families, I would check out Parent Square. It is an app that you would have to pay for your school, but it's really helped us to streamline that communication process.
Yeah. Well, and I'll share all of these in the show notes so that everyone has access, but thanks again. Just appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to School and Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. Go ahead and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, if you are enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcast on iTunes? This helps others find our podcast and lets us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn at Branching Minds.